Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of The Absolute Truth with your host, with the most, the High Rock, a.k.a. the King of Kings. And maybe, who do I have on the line right now?
The one and the only Sean Black.
Who?
Raven Simone's best friend.
And who do I have on the other line?
This is Anitra B. How's everyone doing?
I'm doing fine. I think we're probably gonna piss a lot of people off today, I think.
Naturally. It would not be us if we didn't.
Listen, unlike you guys, I'm not R. Kelly. I don't piss on people, okay?
I hope you don't.
No, yeah, let's not ever want no. We're good.
Even though the image of that is really, really creepy. But, yeah. That's something I don't think I ever want to have into my brain right now. It's going to take me a while to, like, unremember that one.
Okay. That's an image I don't want.
What? How am I peeing on people? I don't know.
Oh, brother.
Okay. Well, then, Dad, once again, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. Oh, excuse me. I have too much cranberry juice already.
Uh-oh.
You listen to the absolute truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. And, wow, thank you so much for Monday night. Of course, we talk about sex, and that was our highest-rated show for one night, of course.
Thank you, guys.
People love to listen about sex.
That's not surprising.
No.
Based on the subject matter, yeah, that it really isn't surprising.
No, because sex, people love sex. That's the bottom line. But the number to call later on, not right now, is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. And let's go straight to the topic. Wow. In the beginning, Sean Black and I argued we will have nothing to talk about because it was a slow week. Then out of nowhere, like Thursday, we came up with like 20 topics.
Yeah, we had to chop all of those up for a while, so... Yeah, we've got topics for weeks now.
It's amazing how everything will happen in a week. But let's start off with Jade Helm 15.
Yes. Jade Helm 15 is something that I actually, as this is starting to sound like a recurring narrative every week. It was something that I wanted to bring up on the show, but because of other things that happened prior, didn't get a chance to really talk about. But since some things seem to have cooled down, we can talk about this topic. And Jade Helm 15 is something that I wanted to bring up because although it's not super duper known by anybody as far as the media goes, it has been around in the media for a little while. And what it is, they are military training exercises that are going to be going on in the South, like Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado between July 15th and September the 15th. They are basically going to be conducted by the U.S. Army Special Operations Command, and they're going to be done in conjunction with the Armed Forces units and a couple of exercises in those states that I just named. They're going to be training roughly 1,200 troops, Army Green Berets, small group of Navy SEALs, Air Force Special Forces troops, and Army infantry. And the premise of that is to train troops that have not been in battle-ready situations to learn how to have battle and situations on land in different terrains at home. And it's like
a training exercise.
Yes. It's roughly training exercises that are happening in the South. Now, the only reason why I wanted to bring this up is because although it's a legitimate exercise that is going to go on, The reason why it became such a hot topic over the last couple of weeks before is the fact that there have been a ton, and when I say a ton, I say a ton, of conspiracy theories from mostly Republicans that have taken to the news, have taken to like Fox and other news channels, CNN, and they're using it as a platform to basically say that the Obama administration is using this to get rid of their Second Amendment rights, which is their rights to bear arms, and they're using, if you can listen to how crazy this sounds, that they're using Walmarts, which some of them in those areas have actually closed down, as underground bunkers to institute martial law and take over the area. This shows you how asinine some of this stuff sounds.
What?
Exactly. This is, and it's been going on for a few weeks, and it's gone in scope from one side to the other. I'll give you an example. There was an Austin American Statesman newspaper noted that after plans and maps of the exercises were actually made public, there was an explosion of outrage on social media after the release of the map, which actually labeled Texas, Utah, and the southern tip of California as quote-unquote hostile. There was also speculation that shuttered Walmart stores would be used for, quote, guerrilla warfare staging areas and FEMA processing camps. All of this from that Jade Helm 15 exercises, which makes no sense. And then they did a survey by registered Republicans. Now, mind you, I said a lot of this is a lot of the Republican hatred that's been going on as far as anything that has happened. As you know, Democrats get on Republicans for things, and then Republicans get back on Democrats for things. This was as up to the beginning of this month. 32% of registered Republicans from the public policy polling noted that, quote, the government is trying to take over Texas, and that half of Tea Party Republicans that support them are concerned with an imminent Texas invasion. I'm telling you, the things that come out of the government and out of some of these stories makes you scratch your head. And when you think about the things that go on, and we've talked about this in detail before, as far as the way Republicans look at the current presidency and what's going on now, and a lot of things that come out of their mouths are not just party rhetorics, things that come from them just because they're Republicans and they're saying something about Democrats. A lot of it makes you scratch your head and wonder what else is going on with the Republicans that they have all of these conspiracy theories coming through. Really, it really makes no sense, but at the same time, it makes you wonder, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some truth to some conspiracy theories. There's some logic behind it.
Yeah.
You know, something that we don't know.
And we always know that there's always truth in every amount of fiction. But a lot of this just is really crazy. Now, we all know that the Republicans are probably starting earlier than ever of starting their campaign to get to the White House, which we know voting is next November. We're talking like 16 months ahead of schedule. And it's getting to the point now where every talking point that you can come up with is going to be something that's going to be looked at and scrutinized by the Republican Party as they go forward into the election season. And this is probably going to be one of those talking points that just comes on out. And it's craziness.
Yes, but if it works, if it's a good strategy for the Republicans to go forward and use against the Democrats, why not?
And that's the truth.
He must win by any means necessary. But remember, the biggest threat right now is Hillary Clinton,
yes.
A woman.
And we know as that starts to heat up, we know there are going to be a lot more things that are going to come out of the woodworks. And I think that one of those things is going to be, even though this is something that has not happened yet, this will probably be one of those talking points that you hear from Republicans about Democrats, especially about the Obama administration, because it's the Obama administration that's going to be doing these training exercises.
And should the taxpayers be upset about this? Because remember, who's paying for this? We are.
Of course. But then again, pretty much all maneuvers like this are being done, and of course, we all know that the government subsidizes all of the stuff that happens. So it's their taxpayer money that is going into training exercises and those kinds of things, you know, building of vehicles and paying for the actual footing the bill for these kinds of exercises. So that's one of those things that you're going to have to look at. But in general, from everything that I just read up on and looked at, I don't think it's something that anybody needs to worry about, but it's to show you just how crazy that a lot of this stuff has gone, including Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who's actually going to be running for president. He put his hat into the race.
I saw that. That's a joke.
Yeah, we know that's a joke, as a matter of fact. The reason why I referenced this is I'm going to give you a little bit of context before I finish reading this particular point. Ted Cruz actually said something during the Baltimore riots that were going on. And he said this, and I looked at it on CNN. He basically had stated something along the lines of the reason why things in Baltimore are happening is because the Obama administration is doing nothing to quell racial tension in the country. So now this is the person that's going to be running for president of the United States on the Republican side. But in any event, you take that information as you will. This is, as a matter of fact, when they showed the clip on CNN, when they came back to the live feed, the reporters actually looked at each other like they were crazy. Like what did we just listen to? But that's a different story.
You know, I think we should do for the next election. I think we should put the ficus tree back up on a ballot.
And vote for the porno star that tried to go and do that as well.
Exactly.
Hey, I think I should run for president. I would be a damn good president.
And you want to know the crazy part is you would probably make a better president than half of the people that are running right now.
Because I'm the high rod, and I tell like it is, and I fight for some people.
Yeah.
But, I don't fight for everybody, please. I fight for the people who cover my behind.
I understand. But this is what Ted Cruz said after when he said he reached out to the Pentagon to inquire about the exercise. Then he made comments to Bloomberg News in South Carolina. Basically, he said, "We are assured that it is a military training exercise. I have no reason to doubt these assurances, but I understand the reason for concern and uncertainty, because when the federal government has not demonstrated itself to be trustworthy in this administration, i.e., the Obama administration, the natural consequence is that many citizens don't trust what it is saying," end quote. This is coming from him. So take that information for what you will, and you can read up on it. It's all over the internet. Just type in Jade Helm 15, and you can read up on they'll show you, you know, the maps of where all of the exercises are going to be taking place. You can read up on the information, all of the crazy hysteria that's been going on. As a matter of fact, Chuck Norris even said something about it and had skepticism about the exercises. So, entertaining read if you delve into it far enough and go as far into the rabbit hole as you can, and then you can see exactly where it will try to lead you.
Okay. Talk about the government. All right, but talk about the government not doing enough for the public. I want to talk a little bit about the Amtrak derailment.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was a disaster.
It's a very sad situation. You know, 8 people got killed from the train headed from Washington, D.C. towards New York, and over 200 people hurt. Of course, there's a lot of stories behind it, but do you think, first, before we continue with the story, do you think it was human error?
I'm pretty sure that there was human error. I'm pretty sure there was some kind of mechanical issue, but at the same time, there still needs to be more information pulled out and we need to bring more information from it, because what we do know is that in an area in that turn, that fatal turn, that as you just stated, killed 8 people and injured hundreds more, and caused a huge amount of damage and wreckage and millions of dollars in damage. The final turn, where we're only supposed to go, I believe, 50 miles an hour tops, the conductor's speed was clocked at 106 miles an hour, which is definitely way too fast. And these kinds of things have to be found out. Like, we don't know if the conductor was asleep, if something happened physically to him, if there was some sort of electrical error, if there was a problem with the third rail, with the electrical switches. All of that stuff will be combed through eventually. But this is really, really sad. And I don't know, what do you think? Do you actually think, Hot Rod, that this was human error, or do you think this is something that's becoming some sort of an epidemic? Because we had something similar to this happen with the Metro North train not that long ago.
It's a little bit of everything. Epidemic. Oh, excuse me. I need
there
a little
goes that cranberry juice.
Of the epidemic and also human error. It's like, once again, there's a lot of questions and answers we may never know to the truth completely. Is
that's not. They're not going to release everything. They never do. They didn't. The last time they had the Metro North crash, not everything was released to the public.
Of course, because you know why? The public cannot handle the complete truth.
So the conductor,
as the lawyer said, suffered a concussion and doesn't remember anything. Go figure.
Yeah. And you can imagine all of the insurance issues that are going to happen, the lawsuits that are going to follow, the wrongful death suits and the civil suits and all of the other stuff that's going to happen, far less the cleanup and then the subsequent repair of the area. There's going to be a lot to comb through. And we have to find out who exactly is culpable for the entire situation. Is it Amtrak? Is it the maintenance, the company that makes the train, the company that makes the circuitry inside of the train? We won't know that for it'll be months and months before we even get into all of that.
That's even if they release that.
I'm sorry?
So that's even if they choose to release any of the information.
True, but once again, they're blaming the government of not funding enough money towards the train tracks. All this could have been prevented if we had more funding. It's just, once again, more stories, more questions than answers. But I just feel bad because, once again, here we are again, another train wreck, another lives lost, and no one ain't doing a damn thing about it. Just talk about it.
Yeah.
This could have been prevented.
I have a feeling that we're going to find out at some point that it probably could have been prevented somewhere, because just no way that a train just goes from 40 or 50 miles an hour and then just continues to speed up through a turn at twice the limit that you're supposed to have, the threshold of all of that speed, and take the buckle the train off. I mean, that something had to have happened that we are not privy to knowing yet.
Do you think this was an attack?
Well,
no.
You know, the funny thing about that is, if I'm not mistaken, I did remember hearing the conductor said something that he thought he heard what sounded like gunshots at the train.
Yeah, it was either that or they hit something.
Or something he hit or hit the train.
Yeah,
I sincerely doubt that the... Yeah.
You know, like... I don't know what
it
is. Like, all of a sudden, you know, you're heading towards, like, you're making a left turn at the car, at the street, and all of a sudden something hit you. I could see that happening as an attack. You understand?
Yeah.
But was that attack? I don't know. I'm just going by the conspiracy theory.
Here's the thing. When we talk about public transportation, let's say, buses, trains, taxis, cars, buses. When we hear about these kinds of things, we don't realize exactly how much danger a lot of these conductors and drivers and pilots have to go through. If you think about all of the stuff that happens, let's, for instance, pilots that have to fly planes and try to land them into JFK or land them in the LaGuardia, and then you have to worry about the idiots that are in other buildings shining those laser pointers in their eyes. We don't know if something similar to that, akin to distracting the conductor, something of that nature, getting the conductor's mind off of what he or she would be doing. And that's a big factor in when they find that, get the findings, especially with the black box trying to determine what happened. And if this conductor actually remembers what happened to in that instance, because as you said before, he has a concussion. His things are foggy. He's not really fully sure about what has happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I wish I had his lawyer too.
Well, I guess we'll find out what happens afterwards, because this is going to be huge. I'm pretty sure we're going to be talking about this particular accident in this particular part of the country for at least a couple of years, because it's going to take about that long to sort through everything.
Yeah, but all of a sudden the government have money for training exercises, right? We're not trying to make the railroads better?
Well, if you remember, President Obama had talked when he just before he went into his second term. The first thing he talked about is we need to improve infrastructure, meaning the rail system, the roadways, because the bridges we know are crumbling. We know what happened years ago. I believe it was it in Minnesota or in? I believe it was in Minnesota. There was a bridge that was crumbling. That was on the news. I can't remember offhand the actual bridge, but we've seen bridges crumbling. We know of, if living in the New York area, you know the streets are messed up because of potholes and water main breaks happening at an epidemic rate because the roads are old and antiquated.
Again, this should be started. She hates those pot rolls.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Ridiculous. The amount of money we pay in taxes. There's no excuse. It should not be happening the way it is.
And because a lot of times you see a lot of politicians trying to get legislation to work, it doesn't go through. And as we've seen and as we've talked about before, infrastructure suffers because you have buildings that are crumbling, you have streets that are messed up. We know those aren't really working the way they should. Potholes everywhere. We know that...
The fare again. I said, didn't the MTA raise tolls and trains and bus fare and all that?
Yeah, we know that in the MTA, as far as them raising the fare, is because they say they don't have the money, and we need to raise the fare so that we can get more money back into the MTA to maintain. The buses, the trains, the railroads, and all of the other things that they have to take care of. Now, if infrastructure is fixed the way it's supposed to on a national scale, we wouldn't be hearing about these kinds of things. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a busted spike in the train tracks that caused the accident, or there was a short on the third rail or something along those lines. If in the findings over the next months and however long it takes for the NTSB to do their investigation and find out what the heck is going on, if something like that comes up, it wouldn't surprise me because the money isn't going into fixing infrastructure, and it never really seems to get done. It's always caught up in red tape, and we always have these problems on a regular basis. The next time we hear about a train or we hear about a plane crash because they didn't have enough money to repair an engine or there was a faulty log nut somewhere in the circuitry, something happened, something went wrong, something went awry, and it didn't get fixed.
Excuses. All excuses.
Well, hey, it is what it is. And that's the absolute truth. I'm just saying.
Well, what do you think, Hot Rod, if you being a taxpayer and you know that you have to travel back and forth to go, let's say you're going to work or you're going somewhere, and you know the trains are messed up, what do you think that should be something that would help fix these things? What kind of solution would you think to try out as far as getting this taken care of?
Well, I ride the train every morning, and I do get annoyed because you pay your money. All right, fine, you don't get a seat. It is what it is. But the overcrowdedness, or you find a train, the AC's not working, it's 90 degrees inside the train station and stuff already. Or you see a homeless person who have not bathed in years take up the car. So you have to go to another car, and the homeless person's in that car. So you have to go to another car. And guess what? That car is overcrowded already. So to raise up the fare and to go through an experience, as a New Yorker, you get fed up. But in the end, who really wins? The MTA. But no matter what, you still need to take the train to work, to go where you need to go. So they're going to raise up to $10. You go all cry, throw fizz, and throw a riot. But in the end, we still have to get to work. Remember the MTA strike that happened years ago?
Oh, yeah.
We cry, we bitch, we moan. Well, we found a way to get to it, and we realized how much we missed the MTA.
Oh, yeah.
MTA, the city lost millions of dollars per day because of the MTA. So for them to put money into fixing up the place, of course we will love that. As a taxpayer, and we pay the monthly MetroCard every day. But, like I just said, it is what it is. They're going to keep robbing us, but we're still going to take the train. But guess what? You cannot go on strike and not take the MTA for a day. It's not going to happen.
Exactly. And that's one of the issues that has to be addressed. We know that the MTA, and we know as far as just in general, infrastructure in this country is really not a big priority. But the only way it's going to be a priority is if anybody goes to the congressman, goes to in your local chapter, go to an alderman, talk to senators, email them, call them, find out what you can do, and get things taken care of. I mean, if you live in the New York City area and you've looked at the news in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we had a brutal winter here. I mean, just brutal as far as the fact that winter just would not go away. And when winter finally decided to go away and we started to get better weather, we've had water main breaks at some sort of pace that I can't even remember the last time we heard about. We've had roads collapsing. There was a sinkhole in the Bronx. There was a bus or a fire engine that went through an area in the Bronx, and there was a sinkhole in the street, and the front left wheel went right into the sinkhole. So this is all infrastructure related, and that's something that has to be taken care of. And if we're looking at the Amtrak accident, that falls under that same infrastructure. We got to find out, first of all, how it happened. But as a whole, that should bring more attention to the ideals behind what we need to do to make sure that infrastructure is taken care of, and it's an important thing to be looked at. Because if we don't, we're going to hear more and more of these kinds of things happening. Now, this is saying we're not knowing if the actual cause of the accident was something infrastructure related. But if it is, it should still bring attention to it as we go forward.
That would be a major wake-up call.
Oh, I think it already was a major wake-up call. The last thing you need is a bridge to collapse and fall into the water, or a train underground going under a tunnel and then the tunnel collapsing around the train with people still in it. We don't need to hear stories like that, because we'll have more and more and more attention paid to it, and nothing would have gotten done.
Did you see the headline in the Daily News today regarding this?
Actually, I bought the paper, yet I didn't get a chance to look at the front.
Listen to this. It says, always off track. Rail line supposed to fail, not expected to last after 1971 start.
Wow.
That's huge right there.
Yeah.
Really? It's in big letters. It is right there.
And the thing about that is, it is not unexpected, because we know living in big cities like Los Angeles, like Dallas, Texas, like Miami, Florida, areas that have a rail system, heavily populated, densely populated areas where transportation is important, especially if you can't drive in a car and you need to take public transportation, infrastructure, roadways, bridges, tunnels. Those things are the most important lifeblood of a major metropolitan city. And you're hearing more and more and more the pollution involved. You're hearing about what's going to save the transit of areas in all of these cities. And you're hearing the hiking of fares going up. They're hiking up fares. You're hearing about crumbling roadways. You're hearing about more and more of these water main breaks. And these things need to be taken care of. But the problem is the government who should be funding these are spending more and more money as far as going and doing wars and going overseas and taking care of those kinds of things than instead of taking care of things in-house in the country that we definitely need to have taken care of.
Oh, that sounds like a campaign, like you're running for an office or something.
Exactly.
Hopefully somebody, whoever's running, whoever else pops out of the woodwork and decides to run for a public office or president or whatever, maybe they'll actually listen to one of us.
Hello, we have a call on the air right now.
Hello, Absolute Shoes, this is Annie Up.
Annie, hey, how you doing?
Hello, dear.
How is everything going so far?
We are doing excellent. Yeah, enjoying the weather.
Ah.
Enjoying the weather, that's nice. Okay, what do you have to say about the Amtrak situation, Andy Up?
Oh, the Amtrak. That, you know, I've been riding the Amtrak for 15 years, and this is a very unfortunate situation for the Amtrak because, number one, they've been battling their infrastructure for the last 30 or 40 years because it is almost disintegrated, and they are having trouble maintaining it. And I think that's the larger issue of this unfortunate, tragic incident that happened. We don't know yet what the driver did or didn't do. We think that he's speeding. We're not sure. I don't think that's 100% yet. So wait to see what the details, how the details unfold. But I can tell you, I know that curve in Philly, and I've been on the train when I felt like it could come off the rails. Like this thing is going way too fast. So this is not a new issue.
But how is he going to have amnesia, though? Like instant amnesia?
Or convenient amnesia.
Convenient amnesia.
Thank you.
He's done rolled off the track killing people, and now you can't remember nothing from right before?
You know what?
No, he doesn't remember. He remembers right before. He doesn't,
well, he remember, doesn't
remember
that.
I think his
lawyer is telling him about what amnesia he has, as opposed to his brain telling him he has amnesia.
Well, guess what? I have amnesia too.
Long enough, it becomes true. So eventually, he won't remember nothing about it. He won't even remember he was a train conductor.
Oh.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little more empathetic to the situation. I'm just saying he needs to start talking and own up to whatever it is that happened. Let's hear the truth.
Yeah, I definitely can understand that. And when, as I said before, is that we know that everything is going to be all litigation everywhere. We definitely know we're going to have lawyers, there's going to be suing, there's going to be everything going on. We have to get to the truth before we can really go forward, is to find out what happened. And
I think it's a bad strategy for him to not be getting ahead of the story. Like, let your narrative be told, and then, you know, like, let the chips fall where they may. You know, now we're thinking that he is a liar, because how are you going to have, like, that convenient amnesia and have your legal team feeding the public the same business? That is unacceptable.
Well, maybe it's not convenient amnesia. Maybe he suffered a head trauma because he was bouncing around in the car just like everyone else.
That is true.
That is
so
true.
What if it's not? We don't know.
And we may never know.
Very convenient, just like the last driver that had on the MTA issue that had the, you know, the derailment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He had this undiagnosed sleep apnea that caused memory loss and amnesia and all that other stuff too. It's just too convenient.
Well, you know what, ladies? When I go to the bar, I have amnesia too from all the drinking I've done. When I see the bill, I tell my wife, I don't remember anything all of a sudden, you know, because too much cranberry juice were erasing my memory. So I can't relate to that a little bit, you know.
And we know for the hot rod, it's always about the cranberry juice.
Oh, I love my cranberry juice.
It's very important to a person's diet.
Lots of vitamins and minerals, I guess.
Oh,
yes, it is.
Well, let's go to the next topic. I like this person so much. She's my favorite. She's Raven Simone.
Oh, God.
Notice how
everything in the on the entire show, the attitude flipped the second you said Raven Simone's name.
Hey, okay, let's tell the story first, then the people can say what's on their mind. This past Thursday on this TV show called The View, Raven Simone, you know the new bill about the $20 bill. Harriet Tubman got voted to be on the $20 bill. Sean Wilkinson, do you have the statement that Raven Simone said on that show?
Okay. This is the statement that Raven Simone brought up. And it's interesting because, as I said, I'll give you the whole ideal behind it. Like you just stated, $20 bill, it was voted on by a website called womenon20s.org. And they're an organization that's trying to get a prominent female, on the $20 bill to replace Andrew Jackson. Raven Simone was on The View, as you just stated, and they were asked, do you agree with the choice of Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill? And her quote was, "No offense to everyone that is going to be mad at me for saying this. I don't like that idea in reference to Harriet Tubman being on the $20 bill. I think we need to move forward a little bit. Let me just preface that I understand the history. I get it. Trust me. I was taught. I'm in that culture." And she said, for her personally, I would have chosen Rosa Parks. I would have chosen someone that is closer to the progression that we are doing now. And I know that you have to understand history so that you don't repeat it. But it doesn't really happen in our world because we still repeat history of hating other cultures over and over again. So I would choose a different one, no offense.
Okay, before we start off, let me read some of the tweets that people said that was outraged with her statement. Like, what crisis is Raven Simone going through, from one person? Another person said, I'm going to need Raven Simone to associate with American African race. This is not American African. And this is my favorite. It's official. We need to trade Raven Simone. She no longer deserves the right to be part of this race.
Mm. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because she had an opinion, and it wasn't even a far-fetched opinion. That's her opinion. Who gives a shit?
See, here's the issue in general. First and foremost, we as a society, and this is where you're going to hear some passion in my voice. We in this country, if we ever look at television, sports with athletes, Hollywood with actors, actresses, people of prominent names, lots of people will criticize athletes and celebrities because they don't talk enough about being part of a cause or having an opinion. So a lot of people get on their high horse and say, well, this person should represent this race or this person should represent that culture and say X, Y, and Z. Okay. Now, Raven Simone, who's 29 years old, African-American.
Is that old?
And she just recently came out as being lesbian.
Remember.
She represents a big area of society. And this is just her opinion. And for her to be excoriated in the media is just absolutely ridiculous. The reason why I understand what she says, and her point is being, she does not have an issue with Harriet Tubman being on the $20 bill. The issue that she thinks, or what she's trying to get from what I read and from what I get out of her comments, is that it should be somebody much more current and in touch as far as the same struggles, and somebody that is not to say different from Harriet Tubman, but someone that is actually doing something now and not somebody that did something in the past. And I think that she didn't elocute what she was trying to say as best as she could. And what ended up happening is social media just jumped into a bus, turned the engine on, and ran her over. And that's just her opinion. I do not understand for the life of me. If you don't agree with somebody's opinion, you may not agree with mine. I might not agree with the Nitras. I might not agree with Hot Rods. But I'm not going to run somebody down because we don't have the same opinion. That makes no sense to me.
I don't think she's wrong. I really
Annie
don't.
Toya wanted to speak first, and then I'll speak.
All right, Toya, go ahead.
Hey, what's up?
Toya?
Raven Simone cannot claim and then unclaim her culture. If she's going to be of the culture, then, you know, she can't conveniently just deny it when she feels like it. Okay, so moving on from that fact.
Okay.
She is not the spokesperson for black people.
There you go.
Why is
she she's not black,
or even making it public what her opinion is about this dollar, the $20 bill? First of all, I think everybody on money is dead, so doesn't it have to be somebody in the past?
Well, what about this?
If we're following the trend of money, it's people who have already been deceived. So I think that her obsession with somebody more current, like who would she choose, Michelle Obama?
No, she chose Rosa Parks.
Okay, but it's still somebody from the past. I mean, like,
Rosa Parks is dead.
And she's dead, too.
Yeah, she is dead.
I personally think that the point she was trying to make was it's just someone more relatable.
Exactly.
But how is somebody more relatable when they're both fighting for the same struggle? Just one in the beginning of it and then one at the tail end of it.
And like
it's
I said before,
struggle,
I don't
so
think,
what's the difference?
I think what the issue was that in trying to define that as her statement, it didn't come across as that's the way she wanted to have it spoken.
Exactly.
And I think that's what the issue was. I personally have no issues with Harriet Tubman being on the $20 bill. As a matter of fact, there were four finalists as voted on the website. It was, like I said before, the website is called womenon20s.org. And they had Harriet Tubman, Eleanor Roosevelt, Rosa Parks, and another woman named Wilma Mankiller, who was a Cherokee, one of the first female tribe leaders for the Cherokee Nation. She was a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1998. And basically what she did was she tripled the enrollment of the Cherokee Nation by becoming their first female president. She doubled employment. She built new housing, health centers, children's programs in northeastern Oklahoma. Infant mortality declined under her presidency. She also, in 1990, signed a historic self-determination agreement in which the Bureau of Indian Affairs surrendered direct control over millions of dollars in federal funding to the tribe. So she was very important as well. She passed away in 2010. So there were a lot of very important women involved in the voting. And it wasn't – I don't think everybody is looking at it as it shouldn't be Harriet Tubman, it should have been Rosa Parks, it should have been somebody else.
I mean, I feel like that African Americans aren't represented on our money. Native Americans are, and through different forms. I said if it's going to be a situation where they're trying to now make it more inclusive, to add women and different cultural and ethnicities, then, you know, why not have a black woman? I mean, I think that a better argument, if Raven Simone could think outside of her small box, would be, you know, the aspect of a nonviolent woman in the you know, equality movement, and somebody who was seen as more violent.
Okay.
I would like to propose this question. Without Harriet Tubman, would there have been a Rosa Parks? And I think where Raven Simone fails, I mean, like Anitra said, it's her opinion. And everyone
exactly.
is entitled to their opinion. I think that her explanation of her opinion, where she says that she understands the history and understands and she's part of the culture, is where she is limited and is where she fails me.
Okay.
And it fails probably a lot of people, because I'm like, it leaves me, the statement overall leads me to believe that she doesn't understand history and that she really isn't informed about what she's talking about, because it's to me, it's not about one or the other. I think all of the options that Sean just read to us are valid and would be great on the new money. I think it's a win-win situation. We're not losing by having any of those women
exactly.
on the face of our money. And her statements just lead me to believe that she doesn't understand. Or maybe she wasn't able to articulate that at that moment. I'm not sure. Because without Harriet Tubman, would there have been a Rosa Parks? It's all part of a moving things forward. And if you take one element out, it changes things. It's baking a cake. You take one ingredient out. You take the sugar and the flour out. Your cake's not going to turn out how you would hope if you did have the sugar and flour in there. So
exactly.
to go in and to cherry pick, it is not. I think it's very confusing to people.
And that's
I
think that's one of those things that a lot of people, they don't really look at when it comes to these kinds of discussions. It's not necessarily knowing the history, because you can always go into a library or go on Google or look online and just look and see what's there. The issue is much more so of getting the importance of what these women have done out there to the masses, even if there is no $20 bill involved, and making sure that the information is disseminated to the masses the way it should be, so that it is not forgotten. Because I think that's what the issue is. The good thing is we're having the discussion. That's the good thing. But more so as far as Raven Simone goes, as we've just all stated, we understand where she's trying to come from, but she didn't have enough information in her statement to bring it across to other people that what her opinion meant was something completely different than how it came out. And she didn't elocute that the right way.
This is what I don't understand. And maybe because, you know, I'm white, there are things I may not know in culture.
No, you're white?
Shut up. Be quiet. But see, it's not like she said, oh, Cher should be on the $20 bill. She said Rosa Parks. She didn't say anything that was so outrageous. Like, what is the big deal?
No, what's the big deal? Because people...
Go ahead, Rodney.
But people of history want Harriet Tubman for what she done. Like Anne said, she set the stage. If it was not for Harriet, there would be no Rosa Parks. There would not be anything else. There would not be anything else. Yes, she's entitled to her own opinion. She's tired, but the way she described it, like Sean said, she didn't describe it correctly. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But don't, hey, watch your language, please. But like I said, you scrub one person to another person. It's like, okay, Rosa Parks, what she did was great. She stood her ground. But, you know, snub Harriet Tubman? That's what it looked like. She snubbed Harriet Tubman.
It comes across as a snub. Yeah, I agree with Rodney in that. It does come across as a snub.
And that probably was not her intention.
Exactly.
But I feel like she also downplayed it. She's like, yes, I understand the history, and you have to know the history. And what did she say? That
the last part of the statement was very negative.
Let me just preface that I understand the history. I get it. Trust me. I was taught. I am in that culture. Me personally, I would have chosen Rosa Parks. I would have chosen someone that is closer to the progression that we are doing now. And I know you have to understand history so that you don't repeat it, but it doesn't really happen in our world because we still repeat history of hating other cultures over and over.
She's right. But
what does that have to do with the argument of the actual face on the bill representing a woman of strength?
And also taken away from her story and taken away from her accomplishment.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, it's a backhanded compliment per se. Like, you're saying, I understand history, I'm part of the culture, I'm this and that,
but
it's going to fail anyways.
It was the part of it. It's the end.
Repeat history, but we're going to fail anyways. Like, I feel like that was like the kind of like, that's kind of like twisting the knife a little.
And I really feel like her reasoning for saying that she likes Rosa Parks rather than Harriet Tubman was to further remove herself from the slavery struggle. She does not identify with slavery. She doesn't consider herself as African American, so therefore she doesn't identify with that part of history. Knowing the history and identifying with it are two different things. So that's why it's her more of racial equality movement rather than a slavery movement. So she's a very biased opinion on it from her own belief that it's not part of. She's not part of that former history of America.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is that a lot of people also have failed to realize she's only 29. So unless there's something that has happened to her in her lifetime that we are unaware of, a lot of people are finding it hard for her to identify with the women that were described in the as finalists for the $20 bill. A lot of people don't. And if you think about it, there are a lot of things when we were in school, when I was in school, they taught Harriet Tubman and they taught all of the great women of the past, and a lot of people don't realize Harriet Tubman is actually the first African-American woman to serve in the military. When she passed away, she was laid with military honors. Those kinds of things people don't realize are there in the history until you actually look at it. But if you I think the way that she came across in how she explained her opinion is why everybody has completely lost their minds. She has an opinion.
I feel like still it was to forward her agenda of not being a part of African American culture, not being able to identify, to separate herself from that, and more with the American, in her mind, what is the American struggle for her, which is civil rights.
And I think that's part of that whole millennial separation. There are a lot of people at her age and younger, between 20, 25, and 30, that are looking at it differently as far as what we were probably taught when we were in school, that there should be a much more current ideal of a person, of a woman, to be on a $20 bill that represents what they feel is their version of what civil rights has been going on. And I think that's the difference that we didn't get a chance to really see, because she didn't explain her point the way she probably would have liked, and that's probably what the issue is.
Yeah, I feel like that's a dangerous territory to get into, your version
of what history is.
And that's, you know, and that's speaking to her own point about history repeating itself. That's why history does repeat itself, because people forget the struggle and forget what they had to go through to get to that point. And then they have their own version of what happened. And they forget that, oh, it really was that bad. And that's why history repeats, because you have your own version of what actually happened. And somewhere in the middle is the truth. You know, it's your opinion, my opinion, and somewhere in the middle we can find actually what did transpire.
And yeah. to Ann's argument, some people don't know who Harriet Truman is. Who don't know who Rosa Parks is. These kids today, I'm like, why are you learning? It's
exactly.
Like saying you don't know who Martin Luther King is, who Malcolm X is. Like saying who's George Washington. They know Nicki Minaj. They know Maroon 5. They know The Voice. But they don't know their own history.
Exactly.
So
I'll give you one better. For
that?
Those that look at the Rosa Parks name as something because it was mentioned, I'll give you a name that people don't really think much of that actually happened before Rosa Parks, and that is Claudette Colvin, who's 75 years old now. But she, like Rosa Parks, was on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama, was told to go to the back of the bus. She said no. And what ended up happening, as a 15-year-old, Claudette Colvin was actually arrested. She was the first person arrested due to not going to the back of the bus because of the bus segregation laws then. She was 15. And that predated the Rosa Parks instance by about 6 months, 7 months, because she was arrested March 2nd of 55. And the Rosa Parks incident happened December 1st of 55.
I'm sorry, Sean.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to add to your point. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What a lot of people don't know is Rosa Parks, she was chosen to be, it was pre-orchestrated. It wasn't just like one day you wake up and I'm tired. They tell the story, oh, I'm tired, I didn't want to go back to the bus. Yeah, she might have been tired. But it was organized. It was talked about. It wasn't in an instant like movies or rewriting history, so to speak, would let you know. She was pissed. She was going to not go to the back of the bus, and that's why it was such a large story, because people behind it knew that this is what she was going to do on this day, and everyone knew she was going to get arrested.
Okay, we have K-Dog on the line right now. K-Dog?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
doing good. Well, I'm enjoying the day here and listening in. Well, all I got to say is this about this whole controversy with the whole $20 bill, the choice between Harriet Tubman and Rosa Parks, is that listening to what you guys said, I agree 100%. True. Harriet Tubman was a brave woman who helped a lot of slaves escape, but also she was also named a fugitive at the time. They all said that she was bad for helping the slaves escape, but she did something that was significant by helping slaves into freedom.
Exactly.
by leading the Underground Railroad at the time. And now, as we fast forward to Rosa Parks, and I applaud you for bringing up Claudette Colvin, because not too many people know about that. And so, with that being said, for the $20 bill, I watched what Raven Simone had to say, and Raven Simone is no stranger to controversy, especially in the black community, with some of the things that she said before.
That is true.
But to say, I'm not going to say that I'm for or against. I feel that both women did a lot for us as a people, for the black community, for the black people as a whole. But I'm not sure which one deserves it even more to be on the $20 bill. I'm not sure. Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
I can get the gist of where you're going with that. And I think that what it is what's lost in the argument, everybody's been piling on well, not I won't say everybody, but a lot of people in social media have piled on to Raven Simone because of her comments. And as I said before, that is her personal ideology. If that's
exactly
how she really feels, then she can have that opinion. Do I agree with her with what she's saying? I can take parts of what she's saying out and understand it, but I wholeheartedly disagree with what she said.
Exactly.
But at the same time, I firmly believe that if we allow people to say, have their opinions and say what they have to say, you can pull anything out of that opinion and understand where they're coming from without basically throwing her into the fire and letting her burn. I mean,
exactly.
That's where a lot of the and Hot Rod and I talked about this during the week, and a lot of those comments that Hot Rod actually brought up were so racist in tone. To me, that was the scariest part of the entire thing.
Yeah, it is. Because I'm going to tell you something, Sean, and Rodney and Anitra. Hot Rod and Anitra, my bad. But however. But now when you look at it, you could read any comment that you want, and you'll see the racism. Because you know what? Let's face it. Racism is something that's going to continue to plague the nation. It's continuing to be a plague. And however, Raven Simone, like I said before, have stirred a lot of controversy with some of the things that she said before. And this being said, stirs up even more controversy from both sides.
Okay.
You see it.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you lost me there for a second? Yeah.
Yeah,
like
I still hear you.
This is Toya again.
Go ahead, Toya.
I just wanted to say that I am, you know, as much as I respect her, her right to have an opinion, I understand that.
Right.
You know, like I said, I disagree. She does, however, represent a large cross-section of the youth. Because I used to work at a high school. I tutored U.S. history and government. And a large majority of the youth believe exactly the same way that Raven believes.
Yeah.
With regard to their connection to the history.
Yes.
So they don't really, and they don't want to know the history. They don't want any part of it. Why
is that, Toya?
I really feel like because they are so far removed from that struggle, they're, even though, you know, there's different struggles now. There's poverty struggles. There's police brutality struggles. You know, it's not old stuff, but for them, the struggle of slavery is so far removed from their minds that they can bring themselves there to think about what it was like to live in that time. They don't connect the fact that the way that we are living now is both a negative and a positive side effect.
Can I add something to it? Let me add something to it.
Go ahead, Katie.
And I agree 100%. This is the thing. Parents are not teaching their children their history. That is a huge problem. I don't feel that the parents are doing a good job. I mean, you have these parents out there, they're not, you know, some of them who don't even know better themselves are not even trying to learn better. So what are they teaching their children about the history of them as a people? This is the problem that we have.
Darlene, I don't think it's the education. I just think it's the fact that certain people just can't relate.
They cannot relate.
She said it in her comment that she was educated. She understood the significance of Harriet Tubman, but she relates more to Rosa Parks, which is nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong.
But honey, I don't think it has anything to do with education. I think it's what Toya said, that who she can relate to.
And that's where I think the disconnect is. Don't look much further than what you're seeing now with people that don't understand. Well, this just happened 5 minutes ago. This happened just 10 minutes ago. I completely forgot. You know, I mean, the thought process of a lot of people is that they don't go past the 80s nowadays. Oh, if it didn't happen in the 80s, then it didn't happen at all.
Exactly.
And there
they're not going to go further back to know what happened back in 1984 or 1974, 1964
exactly.
or 1964.
And the difference between what all of us, when we went to high school, junior high, what we learned in school, and what they're learning today, what you would think with all of the technology that's out there with Twitter and Facebook and being able to Google pretty much any fact that you would want, you would be able to actually have a better grasp on history and things that have happened in the past.
Kids like Raven Simone don't watch anything but, like, New York One. They don't know anything about what's going on globally. I'm telling you, I've experienced what these kids know firsthand, and it is very limited. Short of the weather, it's just not something relevant to them.
Right.
So to speak on an issue that you have no concern over, you know, I mean, Raven's concerned about fashion and whatever, or whatever she's concerned about, we don't know. But I'm
Speaking
to the kids that are out there that I've had connection with, they don't care. If it's not something that's happening on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, it's not important.
So
that cycle has about a 24-hour life. So if it didn't happen within the last 24 hours, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And that's because of the short attention spans that a lot of these people have, where, as you just said, they put it in, if it didn't happen within the last half an hour now, it's not even 24-hour news cycle anymore. It's more or less what happened in the last half an hour.
The new meme.
All right. Very good point, everyone. I'm very happy for this conversation. But it's time for the main event. Time to talk about my favorite subject. I love chocolate pudding.
Oh boy.
Pudding. All right, guys. Well, I'm out.
But thanks a lot, K Dog.
Thank you, K Dog.
You're welcome.
Okay, K Dog. All right, talking from Raven Simone to the pudding.
The pudding, the chocolate pudding, the vanilla pudding. I did not understand the pudding pop, but you're going to talk about the pudding today, you see?
Oh, Lord.
Well, lately, Bill Cosby breaks his silence on GMA. And
if you really want to call that breaking the silence.
Well, he said something, finally.
He did. I'm hurting that one.
Yeah, on a sexual assault allegations. As we all know, the story of Bill Cosby, a.k.a. the father of fathers. What do you think about that interview, that short minute and a half interview?
Well, based on what I saw, because I didn't see it the day it happened. I actually watched it the next day online.
Right.
And in essence, the interview was the reason why he was there. He was there to actually try to promote something in the Alabama region called, I believe, the Black Belt Initiative, which is named for an area in the South where they have very fertile soil. And he was trying to talk about education involved in the area and trying to get kids away from the inner city and try to get them jobs. But the main reason that the interview was done because... Yeah?
Hold on 1 second. 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Thank you, Sean. Carry on.
Okay. Now, make sure you get that number in there. But the issue behind that was he was going to speak to the kids in the Alabama area and talk about education and getting them to where they need to go. But as you know, the interview then shortly turned into, well, how do you go through with the allegations of the sexual harassment suits and all of the allegations that are being levied against you? Because now I believe it's well over 30 women now that have voiced that they were either assaulted or raped or sexually assaulted by Bill Cosby, allegedly. And his ideal behind it was that he wants to be able to do something about it, but he really can't. But he didn't talk. He didn't really say a whole lot. And that's the crazy thing about the whole Bill Cosby thing. He looks almost like he wants to say something, and he didn't. He's like, I can't speak.
While he was doing his interview, he had like 7, 8, 20 different lawyers with him by his side. So he cannot say anything. But what he said,
have to make sure that he doesn't say the wrong thing. This is the exact quote that he said when it was brought up to him by Lindsay Davis, who was on ABC News. I think the interview was done for Good Morning America, and then they did it for Nightline later on that night. He basically said, quote, I think that many of them may say, well, you are a hypocrite. You say one thing, you say another. My point is, okay, listen to me carefully. I'm telling you where the road is out. I am telling you where, as you drive, you can go. You are going to go into the water. Now, do you want to go here, or do you want to be concerned with who is giving you the message? That was pretty much the quote that was pulled out of the interview. And he basically said, this situation, that's unprecedented. And my family, my friends, I have been in this business 52 years. I have never seen anything like this. And reality is the situation, and I can't speak. End quote. Now, it sounds
That's the bottom line.
It almost sounds like he wants to be able to speak and defend himself, but he knows, based on what his lawyers have told him, he really can't. What did you think of the interview? Because I believe we've all seen at least the interview, or read the quotes, or listened to it. And the look in his face, he looks very sullen, very, you know, despondent as far as trying to move forward with his life. And it seems like he kind of is stuck in that rut because he has the allegations that are all over him that he cannot avoid. He has not really answered any questions at all, mostly because of his counsel that probably advising him, you don't want to incriminate yourself in case you say the wrong thing. And then you have the over 30 alleged victims that are getting closer and closer and closer. And something at some point is going to have to happen. What do you think should be done in as far as this is going, Hot Rod? Do you think that Cosby, as far as his career is over with, because he stated also in the interview that he wants to continue to get back into television and do other things entertainment-wise and continue to do stand-up and work in the television industry.
Okay. The comedian, the father of all fathers, the man we grew up to love from our generation, not the younger generation, from our generation, Bill Cosby himself, you're 77 years old, stay your ass at home, have a few whiskeys, and just enjoy your life for the time being. His career is over. It's taunted. The man, what he did is 52 years of business. He's taunted by this. Unfortunately, it came at the wrong time. The interview made people more confused. Like, okay, what are you saying? We cannot say anything. Just say no comment. Don't need to go around with this nonsense he just said. I don't know. And we have another caller on the air right now. Caller?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Corinne.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, hello, Corinne. And we're talking about the pudding right now, the great Bill Cosby himself.
I don't think too many people care about Bill Cosby's pudding right about now.
No, he loved the pudding. He loved to eat pudding. He liked chocolate pudding, vanilla pudding.
Oh, my God.
Caramel pudding. He loved the pudding. Anything creamy. You know?
Oh, boy.
I mean, fellas, to be honest, speaking as a woman, I really don't give a shit. I'm sorry, but if a woman is traumatized to that extent, you don't wait 30 years to come out. You say something right there and then, or maybe a couple of years later. You don't wait 30 years.
It's not that easy. I see what you're saying, but it's not that easy. And especially with him being in the limelight, they probably thought about the backlash and what it'll do to them and all of that other stuff. So they probably have spoke about it amongst others, but not to this standard where it's definitely out in the public and everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah, but really, Janet Dickinson, really?
Oh, I don't even think she remembers anything. She was just too drugged up. I don't know. Maybe she needed a comeback. I don't know.
It just doesn't, something's wrong with it. Like, it just doesn't seem, I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, my opinion, if I'm assaulted, something happened to me, I get a couple years, you're traumatized, but 30 years? Ugh.
Well, you had that dynamic of the story, and we spoke something similar weeks ago. And I remember bringing up to the point that although we know that there are all of these alleged victims that have brought up statements stating that has happened or what has allegedly happened, we don't know the mind of the assault victim. If anybody that has ever been sexually assaulted or has been in the situation that these alleged victims are alleging, it's hard to go out and just 100% condemn them all. Because as we said before, we know that a lot of women who have been through what it is, just I'm not even going to bring this particular case up, just in general, anybody that has ever been a victim of a sexual assault or has been unfortunately raped or anything of that nature, the one thing that people don't take into account is the victimization, the stares, the why did you wait so long, the all
exactly.
of those things. And you also have to look into the part of this. If this is somebody with the power, the money, the notoriety of Bill Cosby, who's to say if this did happen, what he may have over that person's head? If you open your mouth and say this, I will make sure that you never, because the majority of these alleged victims have either worked in the entertainment industry or have worked with Bill Cosby on some level.
Exactly.
And a lot of them were young at the time that these alleged things have happened. And also they were getting into the entertainment business, and allegedly Bill Cosby was actually trying to help them get into the entertainment business. And in some instances actually worked with Bill Cosby on different TV shows. So who's to say if this did happen, what he may or may not have allegedly held over their head if it went public. Now, imagine being a 20-year-old aspiring actress, and something does happen like this, and you trying to keep that quiet so you don't ruin your own reputation, you don't look as though you're trying to bring down a powerful person in the industry. And the main thing about it is, and I've stated this before, who is going to believe that Bill Cosby, as Hot Rod just stated earlier, America's father, the one that sells Kodak film and Jell-O pudding and Coca-Cola and all the other things, and everybody looks at him as a genuinely wholesome individual, is walking around giving people drugs and drugging them and molesting them and doing all kinds of ungodly things? Who would believe that outright without the proof that you would think you would need to prove yourself?
Exactly.
So that's the hardest part of saying, this is the reason why I haven't gone out and just literally said, I don't believe any single one of them. I don't know what's happened. I don't know. The only people that will know would be the alleged victims and Bill Cosby. And Cosby's not speaking. He's lawyered up. The alleged victims are now trying to push forward to get something going. Will anything come out of this? I don't know. That's the hardest part about this whole thing.
Corinne?
Something will come out of it. It would allow future victims to speak up when something happens. It'll also give them the strength and courage to do it. I definitely agree with you, Sean. It does take a lot. And then once you say something, you become a victim all over again. Because
exactly.
like you said, there's finger pointing. There's, you know, going about your business and people looking into your character.
Why did you wait so long?
Exactly.
If you should have said something earlier, you just did it for the money. Those kinds of things are going to be prevalent throughout the entire instance.
And it's not, it's definitely not easy because you have to, have the mindset, first and foremost, to deal not only with the situation at hand, but then going out and telling someone. And like you said, these were young girls, but there had to be some truth to it because some of the ladies that came out in the beginning, he gave them money to go back to school. He took care of them for a certain amount of time. So what is your motive for doing this? Is this your hush money? What exactly is it? But nobody does know. Only one that knows are him, the alleged victims, and God.
And Hot Rod, I want to throw this question at you, and I want you to answer this to make it to kind of understand the thinking process. What female in this society wants to go out there with the stigma that they faked doing any, they were raped by a particular celebrity or assaulted by somebody else, knowing what happens on in the public eye to somebody that would do something like that? There have been people that have done things like that, but in general, honest, normal, regular, everyday woman is going about her business of just trying to live in a male-dominated society. Why would anybody want to go out and let's say, fake getting a rape conviction or a rape charge or a molestation charge and walk around with that stigma in general?
Well, keep in mind, we're talking about two different eras. Bill Cosby did like 30 years ago. Back then, the business was different compared to now. It's the same, similar to a certain degree, but back then, yes, there was a lot of, you know what, you sleep with me, I give you this. Or you want a job here, or you want a part in this role? Yes, you have to go in bed with me. Has that happened with Bill Cosby and some of these females? I personally think so. The drug part, I don't know, but once again, that was 30 years ago. But to be a victim of this society, yes, a young woman, you would do almost anything to make it into this business. I see it for myself personally to this day, but at a different level. But to become a rape victim or a drug victim back then, yes, you'd be scared. Because you, the great Bill Cosby, great Al Pacino, you don't know what these guys would do to you back then. Now is a different story because we have technology, there's more awareness of what's going on. Cosby back then for ladies to sleep with the great Bill Cosby to get a role, it was more accepted back then. It was a different mindset back then to get the role that you want. So we'll do whatever you want. So for this to happen right now, oh yeah, you know what? I slept with Bill Cosby. Since Corinne, since Anisha, since Annie Up coming up with these allegations towards Bill Cosby, you know what? Let me jump on the bandwagon also. Does people think about that? You know what? Since she did it, let me all do it. To a certain degree, I understand what Sean and Corinne are talking about. But I'm on Anisha's side, and very rare I'm on Anisha's B side.
That is correct. It is very rare that you guys agree on anything.
Exactly.
You know what? I may upset some people with this statement. A lot of things happen to a lot of people. If this happened 30 years ago, the mindset was different, you should have said something. But you're a victim right now. For you to say something 30 years later because so-and-so say so, my sympathy for you is very limited.
Exactly.
I'm not saying it was right what happened, but guess what, guys? If Sean Black raped my behind right now, I will call the cops. If he promised me a job in the industry and he doesn't give it to me, guess what? I have something on you. That's our mentality now, not back then. But it is what it is. Good luck to him. He is gone. His father of the year is gone.
Yeah.
Because of
Mm-hmm.
You will never know the full truth, as always, just like everything else. Because who knew what happened 30 years ago? My question is, I was like, Anisha, why now? Maybe 5 years later, I understand. I give you 10 years. For 30 years, because once somebody else says something, there's more conspiracy to this story.
Well, if you think about it, and this is just to kind of illustrate how powerful Bill Cosby was, really was at his height during the 80s. Bill Cosby was literally one step away from buying NBC. If you remember way back in the mid to late 80s when NBC was really going through financial strife, Bill Cosby attempted to buy the network. That shows you how much money he had, how much clout he had. So it goes to show you somebody of his ilk that is looked at. You don't really see the reputation that Bill Cosby had, the cachet that he had on many celebrities today. You don't see that trusted by everybody, male, female, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, young, old, and everyone in between.
But they would be damned back then to have a black man take over a white company. NBC was a white owned. Hello, Rockefeller. So to have a black man to come in and try to buy the company, hell no. That is not going to happen.
Hmm.
But for Karen,
female,
they had a moment. It's gone. It's too late now. So to go after an old man who's 77 years old, what are you going to gain out of it? Money now? It's not going to happen. You're going to fight this until he hits it, until he goes 6 feet under.
You know what it is? Maybe it's the possibility of him coming back into the limelight, getting his show, and not wanting what happened to them to happen to the new generation that he'll be working with now. You can look at it like that as well.
How much Viagra can the old man get?
With the little blue pill, I don't think he has any heart conditions. He'll have no problem getting a prescription.
Hey, he's Bill Cosby. He could get anything he wants.
Oh, Lord.
Well, boy.
That was back then. This is now. I doubt he would do something crazy like that again.
I think when you feel that you're above something, there's a strong possibility because people do slip up.
True. I'm not.
And once
I'm not
a
giving...
pervert, always a pervert.
Yes,
that's true.
Yes, we all
I do agree.
One. And what are you trying to say? That I am a pervert?
You are definitely a pervert.
Oh, boy. I don't think you're going to escape that one, Hot Rod.
No, he couldn't. He walked right into that one. He really did.
Ladies and gentlemen, the number once again is 347-989-8402 to call me a pervert. Please call in.
Somebody calls up, Hot Rod, you're a pervert, and then just hang up.
Apparently, I'm a Bill Cosby.
But that's where we are at right now as far as Bill Cosby goes. And there is really the only person that can get all of this taken care of and steer it in the right way is Bill Cosby. And as we already know, he's lawyered up. He's not talking. He probably won't talk. And if this ever goes to court, it'll be tied up in so much litigation, it'll make your head spin. So I think that we now have to basically go on what we've – in a lot of hearsay, a lot of circumstantial evidence, although we do know he settled, as was stated earlier, he did settle out of court with I believe she's a Canadian track star. And she, I believe, passed 2 lie detector tests and then settled out of court over instances that happened with her. So – there are a ton of other charges that are probably being looked at and combed through. And I want to reiterate this more than anything else. I do not want anybody to look at the situation just because we don't know all of the situation involved with all of these alleged victims and not take a stock of the importance of anybody that has ever been assaulted, anybody that has ever been in the situation, to not look at this as an attack on any victims that are out there or that may potentially want to come out and say something, because the way this is going right now, it just actually puts more pressure on the victim that figures, why should I open my mouth and say something? Because if I do open my mouth and say something, I was assaulted by, I was raped by, then it's just going to be another situation like we have here where that victim gets picked apart. And the last thing we want to do is to have that as something that is going to be used against a potential victim or somebody that may have had something happen and wants to come out and say something.
Okay, well, here's one thing. For all the victims out there, the lady, tell me if you agree with this. Let's say it did happen 30 years ago, whatever. Now is the time for them to become mentors and talk about it to other young ladies, to other young victims. If this stuff happened to them, what to do? Do you agree? Instead of,
you know what I think?
They can, before they can mentor someone else, they have to get that necessary assistance to make sure that they're okay first.
Exactly. They have to heal
because,
first.
Because a damaged person can't help another damaged person. It's a train wreck.
Well, Corey, you always help me. I'm still okay, right?
No, you are a train wreck 101.
Mic drop of the week.
Yeah, but like you were saying, Corinne, I will kill you late. I will kill you after the show.
Really? I hope you know this is recorded. Guys, if I don't make it to work tomorrow, fine, hot.
We are full witnesses.
Just what
Thank
we
you.
Need. Just
Thank
exactly
you.
What
Thank
we
you.
Needed now. Now we have evidence of accomplices. Oh, boy.
But carry on, Corinne.
Before anyone can become a mentor to anyone, they have to make sure that they're okay mentally, physically, emotionally, because it's a lot, especially if you're holding on to something for years. Because there are some people that still go to their graves without ever telling anybody that they've been sexually assaulted or anything of that sort. So it sounds great in theory. Go out and be a mentor, help someone else. But if you don't have it, you won't be able to make a difference.
Exactly.
Anitra B?
Wait, you're breaking up. No, wait, you're literally breaking up. I can't hear you guys.
Well, get a better phone next time then.
That's not nice.
That is not nice.
Wait a minute, do you have an iPhone?
No, I have the
That's
Galaxy
why you're
six.
Breaking up. That is definitely why you're breaking
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
What's that quicker?
Oh my God. Okay, wow.
No, but seriously, if there are women out there, the women were victimized, obviously it is a tragedy. I'm just hoping that they'll know to tell people to come say something soon, immediately. Don't wait 30 years.
Yeah, don't wait 30 years. Don't wait 30 years.
Say something now.
My thinking is no one knows what a particular person has gone through in their life where they have to hold on to that information as long as they may have had. And that is the reason why I can't honestly myself say if it's 20 years, 30 years, or whatever is the case. That has to be an individual decision with a lot of information and also a lot of patience and understanding, because every victim processes what they've gone through differently because of other processes that have happened in their life, other things that may be circumstantial in that situation may delay it. Something may have told somebody, well, if you say something now, and then they have that fear that the second I open my mouth, something worse will happen. So I can't say in good conscience that in 30 years, who are you to I can't even begin to try and say if I'm in those shoes, you know, how long it should be before you open your mouth and say something. That's an independent thing that has to be looked at by the person that has unfortunately been part of that. And they have to be able to do it in a safe manner that doesn't crush the dignity of that person and also doesn't crush the ideals behind getting help.
Okay. All right. Any final thoughts?
Well said.
Any final thought, lady? Brian? Nothing? Okay. Anisha, nothing? Okay. We have a segment called You Can't Make This Ish Up. Sean, you know the story I like to talk about.
Yes, yes, and more yes.
Are we doing pet peeves now? Because I have a pet peeve.
No, no.
You
pet
want to? You go ahead and do your pet peeve first, and then I'll bring up the story that Hot Rod wants to bring up.
Okay. So
you better hurry up. You got like 3 minutes.
As you fellas know, every other weekend I go get my mani pedi. It's common knowledge. I'm
okay.
Walking out my mani pedi, and this is the second time, and I'd like to say maybe a month that I've seen. This chick was maybe 7-8 months pregnant, smoking a cigarette.
Wow.
I
okay.
Literally wanted to rip it out of her mouth.
You know, the
she
funny thing
like
about
ready
that,
to pop.
I had a friend of mine just earlier today tell me the same thing. He said he was driving around and actually saw a woman who looked like she was about 5 or 6 months pregnant, smoking a cigarette.
It's the same lady.
You never know. You never know. It might have been.
Yeah, but she wasn't a child. She was an adult. She looked like she was maybe in mid early 30s. Okay? Are you that asinine to where you choose to have a child? Take care of that child.
Well,
give it a chance. Especially all the literature, everything out there that says and shows what that cigarette can do to you. And, oh, my God. I really wanted to just like, slip out on her and I just kept walking. I was very proud of myself.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, we're very proud of you, too, I guess.
Well, thank you.
Right.
But seriously, like, don't these women know how stupid they look? You look stupid. Stop it.
And
okay.
There's a lot of truth in that.
Wow.
I can definitely understand. That would drive me crazy also.
Well, Sean, carry on with that story.
Okay. Now, here's the story that the Hot Rod really wants to get into. He actually he laughed so hard when he first heard of this story. It's about a Florida man named Jeff Gaylord, 37 years old, Jacksonville, Florida. He turned himself in to the police. And I kid you not, you will laugh your head off when you hear about this story. He turned himself into the police because his imaginary friend, Mr. Happy, actually killed. He went to the police station to confess to the police that he killed his imaginary friend, Mr. Happy, who was leaving cocaine bags all over his apartment. He left all kinds of garbage, and he left his room as a mess with toys and dolls and all kinds of stuff, empty vodka bottles all over the kitchen, never picked up the empty cocaine baggies, and left the toilet seat down when he went to the bathroom.
The nerve of
Mr. Happy was killed. He did not clean up after himself.
Yes. So basically what he did was he got a hatchet and killed Mr. Happy. He killed him in cold imaginary blood. Then he went into the back of the apartment building and buried the body of his imaginary friend. And then turned himself in to the police, who then arrested him because they went to the apartment and found all of this garbage in his place, vodka bottles and cocaine bags and everything else, and arrested him. You can't make this stuff up.
That's great.
Yep, once again, drugs is how can I say it?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, you know, wow. Stick to the weed. Stick to the drinking.
Yes. Mr. Gaylord actually said it was an overreaction. I should have listened to the neighbor lady and got us into counseling. But no, I did the unthinkable and killed my best friend. I'm a terrible, terrible person, and I need to be punished.
Wow.
You know what? In all honesty, you have to give him credit. At least he turned himself in. For what he did.
He didn't. Here's the thing.
He turned himself in. So let's say he did have killed someone. He did the right thing by turning himself in.
Yeah.
Now,
and maybe from turning himself in, He keeps himself from doing this to an actual real human.
Or to himself.
Or to himself. So maybe he'll get the help that he may need, because I believe he was high on the cocaine and everything else. But
he probably had too many pudding pops.
Exactly. And it all comes back to the pudding.
It all goes back to the pudding.
Yeah.
Oh,
when they
God.
Actually went to his apartment when they arrested him, they found drug paraphernalia and a machine gun. I guess that was Mr. Happy's gun also.
Apparently him and Mr. Happy like to have parties.
Apparently he must have had a party without his knowledge, because he turned him in after killing him.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, but on that note, guys, that was our You Can't Make This Ish Up of the week. John Black, Corinne, Anitra, thank you all.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for another great show, indeed, on Absolute Truth. I am your host with the most, the Harvard with
Sean Black.
And Anitra B.
And today we have a special guest, Corinne.
Hi, Corinne. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you, Corinne.
Thank you. Oh, you guys are welcome.
Corinne, text me your address so I can come over and kill you, okay? Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time on the next Absolute Truth.
And, of course, the pleasure
was
all yours.
Text me, Corinne. I need the address now.
Hell no.